Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. In Ephesians 6 and verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In Philippians 1 and verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now in each of these passages, the characteristic of boldness is presented as something commendable. This is a trait characterized by the early Christians, as well as by people of God in all ages. After Paul's conversion, he boldly preached in the name of Christ at Damascus, Acts chapter 9. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold in Antioch of Pisidia, Acts chapter 13. And because of Paul enduring persecutions, others were made bold in Philippians chapter 1. We can even be made bold at the judgment, 1 John 4 and verse 17. Now, to be bold simply means to be confident and daring, free to speak, to use free utterance and strength and good courage without fear. It is to be hopeful, of good cheer, without concealment, without ambiguity, but a daring spirit, with assured confidence, conviction, in faith, nothing varying, without doubting, that which is clear and distinct. That's what boldness means. Friend, it is possible to know truth and to believe truth and yet allow truth to suffer and be swept away because of the lack of boldness. The reason some churches fall away is because they are fearful. They are afraid to stand up and be counted on the side of truth, afraid of being rejected, trembling lest they be put on the spot, and unwilling to sacrifice themselves for the Lord's sake. Unfortunately, many have adopted the foolish and false position that peace is the most important thing of all. But it most often is not because of love for peace, as it is a fear to stand and to fight the good fight of faith, lacking boldness. Many love the acceptance of men, and they love the praise of their peers more than they love the truth of God. Some speak and act blasphemously against God's way, openly and without shame, and yet without rebuke, without challenge, without correction, without the condemnation of their sin. Now this is the lack of boldness that God's people must have. Our voices should ring in the proclamation of truth and the denunciation of all evil and all error. We should declare for all to know the dignity of man, the creation by God, His absolute moral standard, the deity of Christ, the one church, His plan of salvation, the coming resurrection and judgment. We should declare man's accountability, the inspiration of the Scripture, the way of righteous living. And alongside that, we should shout the condemnation of abortion and homosexuality and drunkenness, lasciviousness, adultery, sin in high places. And we should denounce this do-your-own-thing attitude and teach against divorce and the false doctrines of liberalism and modernism and denominationalism and the false religions of the world that are not of God. Being bold is a sure way to become a target of abuse. There has been and there is now and there ever will be those who ridicule and slander and misrepresent, who will lie against and falsely accuse those who are bold enough to stand by God's word. Accusations of bigotry and prejudice and hate and self-righteousness, why, they are all designed simply to intimidate. When the forces of hell cannot meet the truth, and they never can, they resort to the way of persecution. It's always been Satan's tactic. And one learned this by his servants, that you cannot dismiss the message, why, you simply demean the messenger. This was done to Christ, to the apostles, to faithful brethren down through the years. It is certainly true today. In Acts chapter 4, when those who did not wish to accept the message of the apostles wanting to deny the miracle that had been performed before them, the only thing they could do was to threaten and to beat and to harass. But the brethren were faithful to the truth. They were bold in their response. The efforts to intimidate can never succeed unless we allow them to succeed. The early church endured and they overcame such persecution because they were bold. And this must characterize our lives also, dear listener. We wish to note in this lesson five specific areas where Christians must be bold. We need to be bold when facing ridicule and scorn. Learn it well. Learn it soon. The sinful world hates Christ and His people. In 1 John 3 and verse 13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Jesus said in John chapter 15, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." In 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Friend, often those who cry tolerance are the least tolerant toward God's people. Those who claim superiority spiritually, almost as if they have a monopoly on love and goodness, are usually the most unloving and they're the meanest people on the face of the earth. Multiculturalism is willing to include everything except true New Testament Christianity. Liberals attack the Bible with cheap shots of elitism and self-proclaimed superiority and scholarship. You question them, they don't answer. Their response is, "Where did you get your Ph.D.? Why, they denounce God, they offer nothing but their own will. When men cannot answer truth, this is what they do. We do not use the gospel to defend ourselves, but we defend the truth. They detest quoting the Bible, and they call those who do that Bible thumpers. The devil has many children of this sort, and they try to crush the boldness of the righteous. We must not allow ourselves to become victims of their blustery mouthings. We must look to the noblemen of God like Moses and Joshua and Elijah and John the Baptist. Be like Peter and Paul and Christ and the early Christians. They possessed boldness." When we're bold, we must be bold enough to face temptation. It is so necessary to be bold when we are tempted. James 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Too often the cause of Christ have suffered reproach brought on by those who claim to be Christ's disciples. Their hypocrisy is one of the devil's most potent weapons in waging war against the souls of the lost. But we can resist the devil, and he will flee from us, James 4, 7. Too many do not resist him. They flirt with sin. They dare the devil, arraying themselves against the tried and proven ways to oppose temptation. But yet some expect God's blessings anyway. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, Paul told Timothy to flee some things, not flirt with them. We must utilize the whole armor of God in fighting temptation and sin. And when we do, we can overcome temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. A Christian who is wise does not see how close he can come before sinning, but how far away from sin he can keep himself. And as with Joseph, when tempted to sin by Potiphar's wife, he put distance between him and the temptation. We're to abstain from the appearance of evil. Did not Peter succumb to the temptation to deny Christ when he warmed himself by the enemy's fire, attempting a posture of neutrality? Weakness may explain why some fall before temptation, but weakness is no justification for falling. And thirdly, we need to be bold in prayer. Prayer is a privilege that God grants His faithful children. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." When we approach the throne of God, we must do so with utmost reverence and awe and respect of His holiness and deity. Now, what some have called boldness may be nothing other than sheer disrespect or lack of reverence. It's like Romans 3 and verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. It is no little matter to come before the throne of God, dear friend. We're unworthy to approach Him and undeserving to even ask of Him. Therefore, it is never to be with arrogance that we approach God, claiming His blessings and demanding that He bless us, as I have heard some preachers verbalize. Some have shouted at God and said, "You promised, now do it." Have they no shame to address God in such a fashion? We can approach God only because He allows us to approach Him. Prayer is a manifestation of faith and confidence and assurance. It's a recognition of His power and the integrity of His Word. It shows trust in His promises and our dependence upon Him. We pray in faith, nothing wavering, James 1:6, without wrath and doubting, 1 Timothy 2:8. But we pray humbly, beseeching His blessings. But we can be confident, we can be bold when we approach Him in prayer. And we must be bold, fourthly, in proclaiming the gospel truth. We must have confidence in the message that we declare to others. If you have doubts, they will eventually show through. Some may be like the preacher who wrote on the margin of one of his sermon notes one time, "Yell loudly here, not quite sure of this point." Friend, we must have conviction based on the evidence of God's Word. Some are masters at just beating around the bush in their remarks, and you can never be quite sure where they really stand. Their position reflects double-mindedness because of their double talk. Two men heard a preacher preach, and one of them asked, "Whose side is he on? What is he talking about? Is he for it or against it?" Friend, ambiguity is not being bold. When one preaches the theologies and the philosophies and the doctrines of men, he has good reason to be timid and hesitant. He has no business attempting to preach such stuff at all. But when he preaches truth, he is bold and confident and sure. Sometimes those who say we can't be sure about anything are very sure that nobody can be sure about anything. They say we cannot know, and they know that nobody can know. It is usually because they do not know that they talk this way. Friend, we can know, we should know, we must know, and we can be bold about it. Some are not bold in proclaiming truth because they fear criticism. They fear being labeled as being dogmatic and unloving and hateful, and some fear losing their jobs and their salaries. They do not mind offending those who love the truth, but are scared to death of opposing those who have no love for the truth. Hearers should know what the will of God is through preaching, the use of sound speech, sound doctrine. Thus saith the Lord, just as is declared in God's oracles. And we must necessarily be bold when opposing error. Paul is a great example of boldness in confronting false teachers. Consider the time when he had to confront Peter and others when Peter was to be blamed. Peter was creating division and confusion regarding the observance of the Mosaic Law, Galatians the 2nd chapter. And look at Christ as he faced the Pharisees, charging them with their hypocrisies, binding their traditions even above the law of God, Matthew 23. Do you not remember what John wrote about Diotrephes in 3 John 9, who simply loved to have the preeminence among them? Observe Peter and John when they were before the Jewish council, which commanded them to cease preaching the gospel, and how they said they had to obey God rather than men, Acts chapter 4. I recall a time when former preachers were invited back to a congregation. I was among them. The man who spoke before me, that is, who had preceded me at this place, he commented how there never seemed to have been any trouble where he ever preached. And it was easy to see why. He never tackled anything controversial. He never opposed error lest somebody get their feelings hurt. And the church suffered because of it. I guess he knew better how to handle error than the apostles and the prophets and John the Baptist or even Christ. When you never condemn anything and are willing to just simply go along to get along, you may never have any trouble. But you do not do your work faithfully before God either. Why was Christ and the early church persecuted? It was not for the good that they did. It was not because of their kind and gentle manners. It wasn't because they healed the sick and fed the hungry and agreed with people. It was because they confronted error as they were instructed to do. Little wonder churches under such weak preaching and cowardly behavior drift into ways that eventually apostatize. Friend, better to lose friends, but save souls. Better to seek God's approval than man's praise. Now, boldness is not to be equated with being harsh and slanderous and rude and crude and loud and caustic and deliberately offensive. Boldness is not the same as being bombastic and pompous and pretentious or going out and just picking a fight. Ephesians 4 and verse 15 teaches us to speak the truth in love. But truth sometimes offends those who run counter to it. We're allowed no compromise, negotiation, nor dare to be content to be tossed to and fro, but must submit to the Lord's authority and conduct ourselves accordingly, come what may. Can we be faithful without being bold? I fail to see how we can, because boldness is not an optional quality to develop. We must be bold in the home, in the church, in society generally. Boldness demands that we go the Lord's way, and it requires knowledge of that way, love for the truth, open minds, and a willingness to pay whatever price is necessary. It demands honesty, even to admitting that we are wrong when proven wrong. It means having done all to stand, Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Now, some are more bold than others. Some find it easier to be bold than others. This is an acquired trait. Boldness may not always be as evident in some as others. Boldness is identified when under trial. It's no problem to be bold when everyone around you agrees with you and approves of you in that for which you stand. It's when opposition arises that boldness is tested. Be mindful that among those who shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone are the fearful. Revelation 20 and verse 8. Those so cowardly that they give way to persecution and deprivation, choosing rather to abandon truth. Have you ever thought what real persecution might do to the church today, like they suffered in the days of the first century? And what would it do to me, and what would it do to you? I suggest to you, then, it takes boldness to become a Christian. It takes boldness to remain a Christian. In our world, where every decency and morality and scripturally ordained doctrine and practice is being vilified, under the vicious attack from heathens and unbelievers, the evolutionists, the politicians, the educators, the profane, the degenerate, the depraved, the materialists, the religious leaders all around, including false teachers that sometimes arise among our brethren, the call of the Lord comes forth loud and clear. It is unmistakable. Be strong. Stand fast in the Lord. Be unmovable. Speak the truth with love, but also with boldness. Put on the whole armor and be not ashamed. Fight the good fight of faith. And as we read in Hebrews 3 and verse 6, hold fast your confidence. That's the word for boldness. And the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.